You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast, where we look ahead to Wednesday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Stephen Powell, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott in the studio. A big day to look forward to as well, with day one of the May meeting at Chester. Some real good racing to look forward to on the Rooney. We've also got Newton Abbott and Kelso alongside that in the afternoon, and Weatherby and Chelmsford City will provide the action in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio, it's Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Very good, thank you. Very good, thank you, Mark. Outside in the sun. Well, inside now, but it was nice to be outside in the sunshine. And we're going to get a bit warmer over the next few days. So it's about time, because we had a frost again last week and we're nearly in. Well, we are in May now, so it's nice to see things warming up a little bit.
It's about time we had some sunshine. Yeah, you're right.
It's always grim in Leeds.
It's always grim up north.
Grim up north, correct.
If you believe the old phrase.
I do.
We've got some good stuff relatively north, I suppose, in Chester this week.
You're claiming Chester as north, are you?
Almost. Well, it's on its way.
I suppose. Probably north. Well, it's west, isn't it? It's the northwest. Yeah, we can just about get away with that, I think.
But the point is, it was a segue to get to good racing at Chester, isn't it?
Very good, yeah. Well, we've got, obviously, some interesting Derby and Oaks trials to look forward to. Obviously, we've got the same next week at York. That's definitely north.
Yes.
We'll learn a lot more. We've got some decent handicaps as per. And I didn't actually, just looking at the overall field sizes at Chester, because obviously they've got appearance money now, £400 a runner.
Yep.
The fields have held up okay. I think they should have a sliding scale of appearance money depending on the draw. So the lower you are, the less appearance money you get. The higher you are, the more you get. Because you are still, I think Richard Hughes made a good point in his column on Saturday, that you are going to get some, it's hard enough to win a race at Chesterfield, is you're going to get quite a lot of also-rans, horses that don't have a lot of chance running in perhaps some of the races there now, and rather just getting in the way. Hopefully that doesn't happen. We'll probably know more after this meeting, won't we? The prize money is always good at Chester, but after this particular meeting, it's not perhaps quite as good, let's say. Still decent enough, don't get me wrong. I think they have a race less than 10 grand, do they? Five is the place to go racing as well.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Ever been?
Yeah, it's one of my favourite places to go.
Funny that.
Yeah. Why is that? It's a good night out in Chester.
I know it is. I know all too well, I'm afraid.
We'll move on to Chester in a little bit more detail in a moment or two. Just want to get your thoughts on the market for the Derby, Gary. Obviously, we had the guineas this weekend. Galileo Gold, the winner of the 2,000 guineas. His pedigree doesn't exactly scream a mile and a half if you look at it. And they're going to go into scientific detail. They're going to have a scientific analysis.
It doesn't on the Paco Boy side, but on the dam side. I remember somebody saying in the Racing Post yesterday that there is a bit of stamina. If you go back to the third dam or second, whatever, there's a lot of stamina actually in the pedigree. So I'd never heard of a gene. Well, I know what a, yeah, this type of method, a gene test to work this out. It's a load of nonsense, really, to be perfectly honest. But
well, they claim it could be 90% accurate.
Oh, blimey. Right. Can we do one of those for Jeremy Kyle then? So when he does his lie detector test. I don't know. It's an interesting idea. I mean, he's very clever, Hugo Palmer, so I'm not really going to poo-poo it completely. But I don't know whether he, you know, I mean, I think you just run him, to be perfectly honest, don't you? There's only one Derby.
Yeah, that's the old argument. There's only one Derby. You might as well give it a try, aren't you?
I mean, he's only going to race against the same sort of horses in the St James's Palace Stakes if they wait for Royal Ascot. Yeah, I'd run him in the Derby. He's lightly enough raced. He's got plenty of options should he not stay. I think the Eclipse would probably be the ideal race for him, to be perfectly honest. But
yeah. There we go. The market's quite interesting for the Derby because Minding heads the betting at 5-2 with a run. Midterm 4-1 with US Army Ranger, Galileo Gold 9s, 14s Foundation and Massart, and 16s are bigger for the others. I suppose the idea is, we were just talking about this off air, Gary, Minding looks like the best 3-year-old regardless of gender, so I suppose the question is whether you bother, you know, going for the Oaks. Well, I'll take a stab at the Derby.
A lot will depend on what US Army Ranger does on his run for the. Before the big event itself, on his trial, obviously he was impressive at the Curragh on his racecourse debut. Midterm impressed me at Sandown when winning the classic trial there. That's Michael Stout's horse. I thought Massart shaped as though he probably needed a little bit further in the 2000 Guineas and. Yeah. It looks an ideal sort of stepping stone for him too. So, yeah, I mean, we'll learn more over the next couple of weeks. It's never a race I did have an anti-post bet last year. I'd back Jack Hobbs each way before he won at Sandown. But I don't think there is a Jack Hobbs in this year's lineup, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see how it pans out at the end of this week, obviously, because US Army Ranger is going to run in the Chester Vars. So.
Which is Thursday?
Yes. It's a route that Aidan O'Brien seems to like, isn't he? So obviously,
well, Ruler of the World. Yeah. Ruler of the World follow the exact same path before winning the Derby afterwards. They have those trials in Ireland, but they're not quite the same as what you get running around Chester. The tight turns and
learn a bit more, don't you?
They do learn a bit more.
Be interested to see what they're doing minding as well, because apparently Aidan O'Brien's considering sending her to the Irish 1,000 Guineas next, which is something he's done with three of his five Oaks winners.
Interesting. Mm. Yeah, qualified, of course, ran in the Irish 1,000 before she won the Oaks last year.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting how that develops. Hmm. Anyway, we must move on. We must get stuck into Wednesday's action. We're going to look at the first day of Chester's May meeting, and Gary's got four races prepped for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we start in the first race of the day at Chester, the 210, which is the Lily Agnes Condition Stakes. It's a Class 2 event for two-year-olds. It's over 5 furlongs, and we've got a field of 8 for this year's renewal, Gary. And I imagine Fiery Character might be somewhere near the top of the market, so we'll start with her.
Yeah, I think so. We usually just go for the horse that's drawn towards stall 1 or 2 in this race, but it's not always been the way, actually, in recent years. It's been preferable travel, though. Draw last year's winner, Rara, was drawn in stall 2. But stall 1 is will be housed by Patrol Denouis. Likely to be the outsider of the whole lot, simply because we've got quite a few last-time winners out in the lineup. David Evans has won the race in the past. He saddles Awesome Allen and Let Me Stop You There, who are both previous winners. Stonyford Lane was a rare debutante winner for Steph Hollinshead when making a winning racecourse debut at Bath, I think it was. And Copper Knight, trained by Hugo Palmer for Season Sire, so perhaps not finished behind Awesome Allen at Windsor last week. The one that's probably open to a good bit more of improvement. The yard obviously going particularly well. But no, I mean, I think it all does really point to Fiery Character. Ken gave her a fairly positive mention when she won on her racecourse debut at Newmarket. She's got good early pace. And Tom Dascombe's got a good record in this race as well. He's won it twice before. Julius Geezer in 2010 and Courtauld in 2013. So good low draw, provided she gets away okay. Fiery Character will take a bit of stopping, I think, in the Lily Agnes.
Fiery Character then in the Lily Agnes. Let's move on to the 240 at Chester. This is the Cheshire Oaks, a filly's listed race over the extended mile and 3 furlongs. This one's for the three-year-olds. We do have betting on site already as well. Somehow is the even money favourite, supported from 11 to 10 as well. 5 to 1 Diamonds Pour Moi, 9 to 1 from Moorside. Dessert of Life is 10 to 1 with Pursuit of the Stars, and it's 12 to 1 or bigger prices for the others. We're likely to have a pretty short price favourite here, Gary, in the shape of Somehow, who runs for Aidan O'Brien. He's had a few winners of this in the past, including Diamonds and Rubies last year.
Oh yeah, Diamonds and Rubies last year. You go back to Wonder of Wonders in 2011, Perfect Truth in 2009, and Sale in 2008. So now that he's started targeting this meeting a little bit more seriously, this filly herself, she won at Leopardstown on her seasonal reappearance. I think the form of that race will work out particularly well. There was a couple of horses, I think there were stable companions of that finished behind her that went into My Tracker after that race. Their names escape me just now. But I really was taken with how she went through the race by herself anyway. she is definitely the one to beat. Mark Johnson is another trainer who's won this race in the past. He settles Dessert of Life. She has a penalty to carry for a Group 2 success in Germany last year. Diamonds Paul Moir, strictly speaking, has a bit to find on the figures, but went through that race at Kempton quite nicely on her race course debut. Mursala, likewise for James Tate, bit to find on the figures, but beat a John Golston horse at Nottingham, and they put a long way clear of anything else. The others, I think Moorside is perhaps the most interesting. Goes up in trip. Darrell Holland decides to ride this one ahead of the... ahead of perhaps more, one of the more fancied runners in, or seemingly you would have thought on form, the more fancied and doubly motivated. I think she's actually interesting, Moorside. She goes up in trip, which I think will definitely help her. But no, I think it'll be difficult for the Aidan O'Brien horse to be beaten. So somehow is the selection in the Cheshire Oaks.
Somehow in the Cheshire Oaks, then moving on to the 3:10 at Chester next, which is the Chester Cup, a heritage handicap over 2.25 miles, or the extended 2.25 miles. And the market headed by Steve Rogers, who's 7-2, Quick Jack 8-1, Gang Warfare 9s with Silver Concord, 12-1 No Heretic, Heartbreak City 14s with Gabriel the Hero and Gabriel's King, 15-1 or bigger prices for the others. As open as you'd expect, Gary, but Steve Rogers, who's proven at this kind of trip, ran in the Cesarewitch in the past as well, heads the market at the moment. So what do you make of it?
Yeah, and he's got a good draw, hasn't he? In stall three, it sounds to have to talk about a draw when you look at this race. But if you look at the last 10 winners of this, they were drawn... Well, Trip to Paris was 11 last year, but essentially, as we subsequently found out, he was a group horse in a handicap. So 11, 4, 2, 13, 1, 5, 4, 11, 16 and 1 have been the winning draws for this particular contest. Steve Rogers, you say, very progressive in his career. It's amazing to think that I managed to get him beat when he was... I napped him when he ran at Ascot during the summer when he sent off 9-4 and he got beat in July. But he subsequently won round here after that in September. Adam Kirby rode him when he won a decent handicap. Obviously, he was ninth in the Cesarewitch and he's already had a prep run for this. He won a handicap at Kempton back in April. Obviously, he's gone up £6 in the weight for that. But obviously, as you'd expect, it's quite open. Quick Jack would have been on, well, still is on the shortlist, but the draw, I know we've seen winners from stall 16 in the past, but I have to confess it really does put me off Quick Jack. Of the others, Dermot Well brings over Silver Concord to run in the race, which I think is potentially very interesting. Dermot went close with a horse in this race a couple of years ago, but this horse mixes codes, obviously, potentially fairly well treated on the flat. Won the Cheltenham Bumper, of course, a couple of years ago. Finished down the field when last seen over jumps, but when last seen on the flat, won at Leopardstown in October. I think that was actually the November handicap from memory, in inverted commas. The other, I mean, Marwan Kukash obviously wants to win this race. He has got Gabriel the Hero in the lineup, which I think is potentially interesting as well. And John Reel, another one I should mention. I think he'll be happier back on the turf. This time around, I'm pretty disappointingly at the Good Friday or the Championships final day. But competitive little race, obviously as you'd expect for the money, but the draw really just sway it for me for Steve Rogers. You can take a little bit of stoking along, to be fair. The other one I probably want to mention is the top weight Gang Warfare. We've got another one that's got a nice low draw, but it won't be easy carrying top weight, I don't think, in this lineup. So Steve Rogers is the selection in the Chester Cup.
Steve Rogers then for Gary there. Then the final race we look at is the 3:45 at Chester. This is the Boodles Diamond Handicap, a Class 2 event over 5 furlongs. And the market headed at the time recording this by Growl, who's 5-1, 6-1 for Rudy. Kimbrella is 6s as well, 7-1 for McCainis. Avon Breeze 9s, 11s or bigger for the rest. I suppose it'd be quite a fitting winner if Rudy were to win this, Gary.
Yes, obviously has won here over this course and distance in the past as well. Got, if you like, the plum draw in stall number one, and yeah, very much has to be respected. Was a winner at Doncaster on his reappearance, second at Epsom last time out. Probably going to be, I think, probably worth taking on at the current prices, though. The one I'm probably going to plump for is the Dandy Nichols runner, Kimberella. Franny Norton, the King of Chester, takes the ride. Got a good low draw in stall three. Likes to race prominently, so the fact that he's drawn low will be a massive advantage for this particular horse. It's a wide-open race. You've got last year's winner lurking down at the bottom there, Lexi's Hero, who won this off a £4 higher mark last year. So he has to be considered. The Dasker Mother runner, Snapshots, would have been probably a bit more fancied if it wasn't for the draw in stall 15. Sevi, another one from the Dascombe yard that can race prominently. He's probably better than he's shown on his last two starts at a lower draw. We'll hopefully see him in a better light. So it's an open race. Eric Alston's won the race in the past too. He has Bly's Spirit in the lineup as well. He's another one to consider. But no, I'm happy with Kimberella. Very well treated off a mark of 87. Hopefully can land the last for Dandy Nichols and Franny Norton.
Rather than the selection for Gary there. Let's just have, as usual, Gary, a little bit of a quick summary if you'll spin us through your selections for Wednesday then.
Yeah, in the 210 at Chester, Fiery Character, in the 240 Somehow, in the 310 Steve Rogers, and in the 345 Kimberella.
Good work. Thank you very much, Gary. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thanks, Mark. We'll do.
There you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on day one of the May meeting at Chester. We've got that to look forward to alongside Newton Abbott and Kelso in the afternoon and Weatherby and Chelmsford City in the evening. That's all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Stephen Powell, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott in the studio. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.